Luke 23, verse 24. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These are the words of Jesus, his own personal words. The words of a man who was there on the cross to save the world. A man who was there to open heaven for everybody. How could he do that? By his work on the cross. But he says, Father, forgive them. Who was he asking for forgiveness for initially? For those who were nailing him to the cross. We're reminded on Friday about the horrendous character of crucifixion. They were hurting him. He'd already been hurt. Hurting him more, driving the nails in. Father, forgive them. How could he say that? For they know not what they do. But they did know what they were doing. Some of them did not know what they were doing. Others knew full well what they were doing. The Romans were very cruel. They liked to have crucifixion. It says the soldiers treated Jesus very badly. They knew what they were doing. But you see, the grace of God is so wonderful that whatever you've done, however great a great sinner you are, whatever you've done, God says, I'll forgive you. You know not what you've been doing. If you're keeping God out of your life, you don't know what you're doing, do you? Keep God out of your life, you could be in trouble, of course. God knows the problems of humanity. The Lord Jesus knew the problems of humanity because he was here as a human being. God and man. Here in human form, he knew the problems. But he was here now on the cross, nailed to the cross, saying, Father, forgive them. That call has come through to us. It wasn't just those who did it to him. That call has come through to us in 2015. Millions and millions have been forgiven because the Lord said, Father, forgive them. That goes to all. You can be forgiven tonight. You see, Paul was a bad man. He persecuted Christians and he hated them and he was unkind to them. But he said later he was given mercy because he did it ignorantly in unbelief. Amazing grace of God. Paul knew what he was doing, but the amazing grace of God is that he'll say, you know not what you're doing. If you're rejecting Jesus tonight, you don't know what you're doing. You're rejecting the greatest man who can change your life, give you eternity in heaven, open the doors of heaven for you and let you in, give you even more than that. Paul said, the Son of God who loved who? Everybody? No, me. Gave himself for me. He was a man under conviction of sin. What we saw on Friday showed us that the man who saw his friend die was under conviction of sin. He could see the Saviour there. Indeed, he had his part in nailing him to the cross. And we all did. The hymn says, O Lord, what thee tormented was our sin's heavy load. You say, I wasn't at the cross. No, you weren't at the cross. But our sin's heavy load was what the Lord Jesus had to bear. Every one of us has a heavy load of sin. Jesus bore it. What does he say? What does the prodigal son, what does the father say to the prodigal son? Look, I've got a list here of all the sins you've done. Now you've come back and asked for forgiveness. Not at all. Bring out the best robe. God isn't counting up all your sins. It's not funny all the bad things you've done. He forgives you. He's a God who delights to forgive. What we saw on Friday night was quite touching. A young man lost his friend, who was another young man. Quite solemn, isn't it? We were reminded that life is so short. Life can be on today and off tomorrow. There's a young chap here, lived in one of those flats over there on heroin, and we lost him. He died. Solemn, isn't it? Another chap I knew. He was at work. Suddenly had a seizure. In the toilet at work, I think. Brought him out. He was brain dead. He laid in the hospital in Basel for a long time. Went to see him. Spoke to him about Jesus. His eyes were wide open, but no flicker. He was brain dead. In the end, he died. Quite solemn, isn't it? Young man, not old at all. So it's a word to us all to get right with God, isn't it? We don't know what a day may bring forth. Something can happen. I trust it doesn't to anyone here, but we can never tell. All those people in that plane crash were in eternity in a few seconds. Didn't have much warning. A bit. All could they do was scream. Maybe they screamed to God for mercy. I hope so. Bang. They were gone. In eternity. Solemn, isn't it? Life is real, you know. Christians don't overemphasize the need of coming to Jesus before you die, but it needs to be emphasized. It needs to be spoken about. God doesn't frighten us into blessing. No. It's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. What Jesus said here was the goodness of God. He was told by the Father to say that. Father, forgive them. Will the Father forgive them? Of course he'll forgive them. As in the prodigal son, he was forgiven immediately. God will immediately forgive you if you ask him to. You know, I like the man who was crucified on the cross with Jesus. On the edge of hell. But he went to heaven. Why? Because he said to the other chap, and he became a preacher, he said, you and I get what we deserve. We're sinners. This man has done nothing amiss. So all you've got to do, just tell God you're a sinner. And ask Jesus to save you. He did. He said, Lord, I don't want the blessing immediately. I'm prepared to wait as long as you want to keep me waiting. But remember me. Just remember me. Placed himself in faith in the Saviour's hands. Just remember me when you come in your kingdom. I'll wait. I know you're not in your kingdom at the moment. What did Jesus say? Verily, verily, absolutely certain. Today you'll be with me in paradise. That's the destination of every Christian. Paradise. That man's on the edge of hell. If he died without Christ, he'd have gone to hell. But he went to heaven, to paradise with Jesus. How wonderful it is. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That echoes through time, doesn't it? Echoes through the centuries. God is still like that. He still wants to bless you. God isn't making you do things that are difficult for you to get the blessing. No, no. Just recognize that you're a sinner. Like the man at the gate said, God be merciful to me, the sinner. We're all sinners. I don't need to tell you you're sinners. We all know that. We do bad things. We do wrong things. Christians do wrong things. They're all sinners. Christians are sinners saved by grace. That's all. We're no different from anybody else. We don't preach to you as being different. Preach to you as being just like you. We're all the same. Sinners, but we've been saved. What by? Grace. By Jesus. What grace? Being the suffering lamb. The Lord Jesus going to the cross to suffer for sins. The just for the unjust. Why? To bring us to God. That's your destination. Paradise. The presence of God. If you're a Christian. But the Lord had to suffer. We saw something. We saw on Friday of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, but they were only at the hands of man. Solemn thought, isn't it? Nobody saw the sufferings at the hand of God. God put it in darkness. Why? It would have frightened us. Been too much for us to understand. God says, no, you won't see it. Certain things God doesn't show us for our good and for our blessing. We don't know what it was like. We do know the Lord says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord had a question that wasn't answered. Quite solemn. The Lord knew the answer to everything. But when it came to the bearing of sin, he said, why have you forsaken me? Why? Showing he was truly a man. God, but truly a man. And he felt being left alone and forsaken by his God as being made sin. Why was he made sin? Was he a sinner? No. He was made sin for us. Took our sins. As I said in that hymn, O Lord, what thee tormented, and it was torment for Jesus, was our sins' heavy load. We had the debt augmented. That means we'd made the debt. That is paying blood. When the Lord was on the cross, a soldier came and pierced his side, and out came blood and water. We need blood for the remission of sins. Without it, you can't have it. The Lord's work on the cross is absolutely perfect and complete. Not even Satan can raise a challenge against it. Now, interesting thing was, After that, the centurion and those with him, that's more than the centurion, who kept guard over Jesus, when they saw this and they saw the earthquake, they said, "Truly, this man, the Son of God." Wow. He was indeed. But revelation was given to those men. I guess those men later will be in the church. I reckon so. Because the Lord said, when he came out of death, "Go and preach the glad tidings to all the creation, Jew and Gentile, beginning at Jerusalem." So it went out to the Gentiles. Because the centurion was Gentile, he was Roman. You say they crucified the Lord of glory. Well, not exactly. The Jews plotted it, the Romans did it. So the whole of humanity stands condemned at the cross. That's all of us. But God isn't condemning you tonight. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The Lord went into death for 3 days and three nights. We didn't see him there. Can't see anybody in death. He was there and raised again the third day. The resurrection is the hallmark of Christianity. The cross is the pivot on which Christianity turns. No cross, no sacrifice, nothing. The Lord, just read if you want to, what happened on the cross. The Lord was nailed. He was made sin. He said, "It's finished." Lots of things happened on the cross. Without the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. That was essential, but only for Jesus, not for us. We don't have to suffer like that. Resurrection is the hallmark of Christianity. That's why God gave so many witnesses to the fact that Jesus is out of death. He's now in heaven. They saw him going up into heaven, a prince and saviour, never to come again until he comes for his church. Now you see, the amazing thing, when the Father forgives us, when the prodigal son got forgiven, he went, "Okay, you're free to go." No, no. Bring forth the best robe and clothe him in it. Sandals on his feet. Let's make a feast. Let's have a party. Let's make a do of it. And began to make merry. There's merriment. There's rejoicing over the one repentant sinner in heaven. God wants to give us the very best he can. Father, forgive them. None of what they do, that forgiveness extends beyond just being forgiven for your sins, being made part of God's family. Isn't that wonderful? Sonship. Every believer is a son. Every believer God gives the Holy Spirit to. Why? Because we need the Holy Spirit. Life is not, as I often say, a bed of roses. Oh no. For the believer, it's sometimes very difficult. For the unbeliever, much more difficult. They've got no one to turn to, but when you get desperate and you feel you can't, say, "Lord, help me," like Peter did. "Help me, Lord, at once." And he did. The Lord will do that. He'll stand by you. He'll stick closer than a brother. See you through the ups and downs of life. If you read the Gospels, you'll find that people like Paul had ups and downs of life. But Jesus is always there. Always there. Then you're given the Holy Spirit to help you. Holy Spirit comforts us. Not a very comfortable world we live in sometimes. Things are very difficult. Things get out of gear. Governments go to pots and countries go in anarchy. Very difficult world. We don't perhaps know too much of it here, for which we have to thank God. But things do get out of hand sometimes. But you can be assured, once you've come to Jesus, repented about your sins, said, "God, I'm a sinner. Jesus saved me. You're his and here forever." And he'll never let go of, I often say, I'm sorry I said it before, he takes hold of your hand when you're his. "You belong to me," he said. Like he touched that leper, handled the leper. Never let go of your hand. Jesus will never let you down. He'll see you right through to glory. He's coming again from the glory to take all his own to the glory. That's where we belong. We don't belong here. Have another place. Where the man who saved us is, the glorious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven. That message of forgiveness is going through the world tonight. That message of forgiveness comes to you tonight. Comes to all men, but it comes to you personally. God is appealing to you. Face realities of life. Life can be short, life can be long. Life is in God's hands. Don't trifle with it. Don't play with life. Don't say, "Oh, I'll carry on my own sweet way, and when I think about it, I'll think about God." That isn't the way of blessing. Mm. That isn't the way of happiness. The way of happiness is to remember your Creator, the days of your youth, mm. and you'll prove that God can be better to you than anyone else. Mm. He'll see you through. He'll bless you. Not only that, not will he only bless you here, he'll bless you forever. Eternal life is for now and forever. You'll be part of the church. And the Lord will come in a flash, moment of an eye, to take what? His church. Every believer, dead first, then living, to heaven. That's where we belong. What will it be like in heaven? Well, good. Very good. What will it be like? The Lord gives us a clue. He said we should be as angels. Not only are we taken to heaven, not only will we see the Lord Jesus, and having not seen, we love, and a special blessing attached to that, we should be like him. See him as he is. What a thrill to see the Saviour who died for us. What a thrill to see him in glory, brightness and brilliance of Jesus. The sun is nothing compared with the brilliance of Jesus. That's the future for the Christian. That's where the repentant thief went, to paradise. To wait there with Jesus until all have their new glorified bodies. Paul is waiting. We're all waiting. Dear friend, the call is tonight. The Lord's voice. Father, forgive them. Forgiveness is in the heart of God. Take advantage of it. Make it your own. Tell God you're a sinner. Say, Jesus, save me. I am a sinner. And God will say, doesn't matter what you've done before, doesn't matter what you've done before, how bad you've been, it doesn't matter. You are forgiven. You are mine. You've got a place in my house. You'll be mine eternally. May you do that tonight, for his name's sake.
Amen.